We can get request forms, and if anyone else wants to speak, now's the time to get a request form to our
Mr. Chair, if I could make one other introduction, a staff introduction.
Sure.
So this year, as you will recall, we received funding for four new positions for our office for our new cannabis discharge, waste discharge regulatory and enforcement program. And we have two new staff, and a third has accepted a job offer and will be starting next month, and the fourth is we're still interviewing for. But I wanted to introduce you to Connor McEntee. Connor is an environmental scientist, and we're very pleased to have Connor working with us in this new program. Also, Kason Grady isn't in the room. Kason isn't new to our office. He's been working for us for many years in our NPDES program and is shifting over to work in the new cannabis program. And then the third person is Catherine Dlubak, and Catherine will be starting next month, I believe. So we're pleased to have those new staff. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll call on Christy Wrigley, and then up behind her is Brenda Edelman, if you can be ready to go.
Yes.
Okay, I am Christy Wrigley from Elk River. I'm speaking on behalf of the residents there, as well as myself. Would like to make an aside comment. It is, the vote on Prop 1 is very typical. Northern counties from forever have voted no because the rest of the state wants our water, so that's pretty typical. I went to UC Berkeley in the late 60s, and I came home and I said to my mom, Mom, they call that Northern California. We're 300 miles north of there. What are we? She said, oh, we're the part of California that doesn't count except for our water. So nothing has very much changed except now, I would say, it's our water and money from our timber. So with that, and I would also like to reference that and remind you that Elk River is our drinking water, our only source of domestic water in the valley. And so I want to share with you some thoughts I have, and we all have in our valley. We recognize that it takes time to understand and deal effectively with sediment from logging. Elk River is a very sensitive watershed. And until the TMDL is in place, it only makes sense to extremely back off on logging. We know that is what is causing the problem. We've known for 17 years. We came together as a watershed in 2010 and informed your staff and EO that the WDR was not working. We came together again in 2012 and reiterated the same thing, saying it's getting worse. Both those years it flooded in many people's houses. Recently, we had a meeting with your staff in the field associated with the plan that is in front of you, especially with the Elk River Court residents present and commenting and sharing their history, many who have been there 30 to 40 years, and that's the only home they have. Our whole economic backdrop, investment for most of us little people is in our home, and it is our only refuge. The Constitution recognizes that, and one of the things it promotes is a feeling of safety and refuge in your home. I don't have that in one of my homes. Most of those people on Elk River Court don't have it either. And some people on Wrigley Road don't, because they live with the threat every year. Is it going to flood this year? Is it going to come in my house? Is it going to be this one? Am I going to be safe in my home? Am I going to be able to get to it? Once I'm there, am I safe? And those concerns were shared with your staff. And yet what we see is only lip service, no real measurements, no real direction given to staff for things that they could really do that would protect us. Definitely no new logging, definitely no new roads. And yet that's exactly what happened. Roads were authorized, and then a typical October rain came, and it was a muddy mess. There should be, there are just many things that we know that we could share with your staff that would be very beneficial. We've been studying it, you know, all our lives and intimately for the last 20 years. And people are genuinely totally disillusioned. They feel like we've been just disregarded, disrespected. Even talk about groundwater, we saw the lumber companies extract groundwater maybe 50 to 100 feet from the river and then take it over to the other valley and dump it on the roads when there wasn't any water in the river for some of the downstream residents. It went dry this year for the first time. Now, I bet if we didn't have 5 feet of sediment in that river, it wouldn't have been as bad as it was. And if we had those pools we had that were 8 feet deep, but they're not there. They're full of sediment, and they have been, and they're getting worse. And it is very scary. We would like to meaningfully participate in our recovery, but you can't just wait till the TMDL starts. And we ask you, A, number one, do not approve any new plans, any more logging in our watershed. The TMDL is close. You know it's not working. You know we need protection. It's not just fixing Dead Woman's Corner. It's fixing the whole problem, or at least getting started on it. And we would like to work with your staff. Would you please direct your EO to work with the residents to recover and to take our considerations into view more intimately? We need that desperately from you.
And we need you to sum up. I've actually let you go well past the time. Thank you. Does any board members have questions or comments? Does staff have responses? Okay. Brenda
Edelman, Russian River Watershed Protection Committee. I was very pleased yesterday when I heard Mr. Warner Chabot talk on behalf of the Estuary Institute and your agency's involvement with that organization, and the fact that one of their concerns has to do with endocrine disrupting chemicals and toxins in general and pesticides. Of course, you know this is a very important issue for me. I would like to say that over and over the years as I've studied this issue, I keep hearing from the state that there isn't enough information and a lot more studies need to be done. And yet, I've never really heard an acknowledgement of all the studies that have been done and all the information that has been developed. And I'd just like to refer to just a few resources I've come across, one only recently, and that is a major study by the World Health Organization that lists in fairly good detail what is known at this point and what needs to be worked on further. And there are many, many, there's a huge amount of information. They have references to all kinds of studies, hundreds of studies. It's a huge field with huge implications. And so, yes, there is a lot that's not known. But I would like to see people in the regional board and the state board acknowledge what is known. And one of the things that is known is that endocrine-disrupting chemicals work differently on humans and wildlife endocrine systems than toxins do in general. And current risk assessment analysis based on one chemical, one dose, and the amount of the dose being determining whether it's toxic or not, or its toxic effects, is not relevant to the endocrine system. And the endocrine system controls our development, our children's lives, our health, and there's just so many things happening. And what I'm going to be doing is to put together a list of sources. It won't necessarily be a huge list, but there's this huge study by the World Health Organization that's very good. There are European studies. There's an Endocrine Society statement. The San Francisco Medical Society has done a lot of work on this issue. There was a major study by 12 scientists who work in this field put out a year and a half ago that I did provide your board at that point in the state board. And the information is just burgeoning. And I would just like to see some acknowledgement of what is known. Okay. And I'd like
and then I'll need you to finish up, please.
Well, you know, Mr. Corbett, you give other people a lot more time than you give me.
You've been on red for a while, just so you know.
And I will try and be concise, but I really feel like I've been shortchanged on time, to tell you the truth. And I'd like another minute or two, if you don't mind.
I'll go one more minute, and I'll take you up to about 5 minutes by
okay,
my count.
Okay, I'll read just a few items here just to give you an idea. Human and wildlife health depends on the ability to reproduce and develop normally. This is not possible without a healthy endocrine system. There are high incidence and increasing trends of many endocrine-related disorders in humans. Observations of endocrine-related effects in wildlife populations. There's many endocrine-related diseases and disorders are on the rise. Close to 800 chemicals are known or suspected to be capable of interfering with hormone receptors, hormone synthesis, or hormone conversion. And human and wildlife populations all over the world are exposed to these chemicals. These chemicals have not all been identified, but they are everywhere. They are in many of our household products. They're in building materials. You just name it. They're in our drinking water. They've been found in our drinking water, even though in low levels. But again, just because they're on low levels doesn't mean they're not dangerous and putting us at risk. So I would just like to see people acknowledge what is known at this point in time when they talk about this issue. Thank you very much.
Any board members have questions or comments? I actually have one.
Just a comment. The first time I was on this board a year ago and I heard you raise the issue, you piqued my curiosity. So I went and spent an hour or so on Google Scholar just looking up the basis of scientific literature. And you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, there is an emerging science that's talking about various chemicals and the disruptive factors that they play on living organisms. In a global sense, I accept everything you just said. But do you have any specific ideas here within our region of and keep it short. But are there any specific ideas that you'd like to see followed in the future or discussed?
Well, that's the point. I'd like to see some kind of means to discuss these things and just raise consciousness. And maybe working through the Estuary Institute will be an opportunity, because Mr. Chabot did seem interested in that issue. And all I'm saying is, let's get the dialogue going in more detail and more depth and get people thinking about it and coming up with ideas of things we can be doing to help the problem. We're not going to solve it overnight by any means, but at least we can get something going on this.
I, I think that's reasonable. And as you know, if you've delved into this literature, it's incredibly complex. And even as a scientist, a lot of this stuff goes over my head. But I think that's a reasonable request.
Well, it's over
so
my
you.
Head a lot of it, too. But there are general things we could be talking about.
Right. I was actually going to ask the same thing on what concrete solutions you have. It is, first of all, I think, going to be so complex, and there's so many different drugs, and there's so many different chemicals, and then you're dealing with the interactions of them, and then you're dealing with the interactions over widely diverse populations from plants, animals, and humans, that we're going to have to manage it from an uncertainty standpoint. And I don't have, can reach that. The problem is, what can you do with it? I know our local district had something that was a problem, and we spend money to collect toxics, and people thought we were spending a lot of money. I said, well, if we don't do this, we're going to spend $10 million treating the trace toxics, and it's been pretty successful, but that's not, you know, that's a pretty soft regulation, and then there's also not clear ways to treat it when you find it, and you can make excuses endlessly. I'm not trying to do that, but one of my challenges on it is how to get a handle around this issue of saying, gee, it's ubiquitous. We have enough to know it's not good. But beyond that, we don't have too much, and it could be very expensive to treat. I mean, bankrupt, expensive for various organizations. So the more you can come up with, here's ideas, I think the regional board could introduce it. And I do think people poo pot, but I do think education, at least, has worked in my small water district. And I think that might, and we've tried to encourage it here, and then I'll talk to Matt, but it's, how do you get a handle on such a complex problem? I mean, you just take the regulation of pesticides, and the government can't keep track of all the different effects and regulation. I mean, it's very complex. You take the medicines, and you take the dispersal. It's, yeah, it's out there. It's got to be dealt with. How? I'm a little clueless. Anyway, Matt. But thank you for bringing it to our attention, because we...
I mean, I do have a few quick ideas, but obviously we don't have much time now. So, you know, I mean, we're not going to solve it right away, but we can take steps, small steps, to address it and educate people and get the word out there and at least indicate we're taking it seriously.
And I'll try and provide a forum where you'd have more time.
Thank you. I'd appreciate
it. I think maybe it's gone out of the public comment period where we have to regulate comments.
That would be great. Thank you.
And so, Matt St. John, Executive Officer, just to say that we're planning on bringing at the January 29th board meeting an informational item on contaminants of emerging concern. It's partly to announce that we've allocated funds with our surface water ambient monitoring program to do monitoring in 2015 and 2016 for contaminants of emerging concern within the Russian River watershed. So at this informational item, we'll give kind of an overview of our understanding of the issues, and then describe the monitoring program that we're launching. I gave one thing that can be done is safe medicine disposal. And I gave a presentation at the Safe Medicine Disposal Symposium that was held in Santa Rosa last month, I believe it was. A simple message there is we shouldn't be flushing medicines down the toilet and shouldn't be putting them in the trash. And there's a way to properly dispose of medicines, and that's one way of keeping those constituents out of our water supplies.
Board Member Hale?
Yeah, as part of that, Matt, if you could also brief us on at least where it ended up with the state's Blue Ribbon panel that was assembled to put, you know, some information together about the CECs, and the last I heard of it must have been 2 years ago, and I really don't know whatever happened after that. There was some promise that we had the big think tank happening on it, and
well, we did include an executive officer's report within the last 12 months, I think, on that provided some explanation of where that ended up, but we can bring that into our staff presentation next
Refresher month. Would be helpful.
No, for me as well.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And I would like the opportunity to work with you on some materials on that, if possible.
Mr. Massey.
Mr. Chair. Brenda, I think you recall about a year ago we asked that we coordinate not only with Region 1 but with Region 2 over the issues of emerging concern. I think it's been pretty well articulated here that it is not ignoring the problem. We know the problem is there. The question is, what do you do for a solution? It's kind of like, in the same sense, if you have a sewer system that is operational, it puts effluent out, and what do you do with it? It is not, how do you do it? Do you put it back in a river? Do you put it on the land? No matter what you do, it's there. Can we stop effluent from sewer systems? Yes, but then you don't have a sewer system. Is that worse? I think so. So it's a, how do you tease this stuff apart? I'm really happy to see, like Matt is talking about, issues of what do we do with leftover medicines. I mean, these are, we're doing it in areas like paint, medicine, and so forth. Those things are, they're a really dinky step, and I think we all agree on that. But I think you're hearing, okay, it's a problem. We all know it's a problem, and we need to start finding solutions to it. How we do that, I don't know. But
well, we need to start talking about it more and coming up with ideas and brainstorming, et cetera. So.
And I guess what I'm saying is that we haven't, your voice has not gone unheard. It is just the enormity of the problem. What do we do?
Well, you're going to keep hearing my voice.
That's good. That's good. Thank you.
All right. Any further comments, questions by anybody? Okay. I have no other public speaking cards. Does that close off? Okay. Then we've closed off the public forum.